So I wake up today, and there it is, staring me in the face. The final nail in what has to be the credibility coffin of ESIC, and that is that they've overturned their most notable and righteous ban, and Hundon is free to just return back into the coaching pool and work at all of the partners. Crazy, absolutely crazy that this is where we're at. And, you know, we're going to talk a lot about it, what it means, how we get here. But I guess we'll just start with the report. I mean, my reaction to it is this. I think the severity of Hundon's crimes, and of course, obviously, no literal crime has been committed. But the severity of Hundon's crimes, his initial crimes of using the coaching book, they're not that serious in the grand scheme of things. What, Richard? How can you say that? Like, there were coaches that did it more, some of whom haven't even been banned because I think ESIC have realized they're out of their fucking element with this. His crimes weren't like severe in terms of the scope and breadth and severity. It was they were relatively minor infractions when you look at the totality of what cheating can encompass and what cheating did occur during the coaching bug saga. The problem is all the subsequent nonsense, the lies, the refusal to cooperate, the bizarre fucking meltdown where he violated the integrity of a second tournament by leaking his own team scrapbook to a rival team, which it increasingly looks like he now did for a financial inducement because Astralis wanted him to be the new coach. So that's corporate espionage, right? That's corporate espionage at the same time as also violating the integrity of the tournament you were in. It's insane. And so the degree that he went to is truly ridiculous. And then on top of that, he then tries to take everyone on Heroic down with him by creating what is a very heavily embellished conspiracy that many morons on Reddit have uncritically repeated. They knew about the cheating. No, fucker, they didn't. They found out after he'd done it when he told them, and then they decided they wouldn't rat him out. That is a different thing entirely, you fucking morons. But anyway, shelve that. Shelve the standard, oh, here's the Reddit narrative, here's reality. Oh, these two things aren't the fucking same. But then he tried to rat them out, and he tried to rat them out by making somebody who is on the autistic spectrum self-incriminate. Now, that is especially grotesque. It's like, whatever you think about what Nico said, or whether or not he did indeed know, or whether he was just pandering to Hundon because he just wanted him to stop talking to him or whatever. When you're a coach, and I know about these things because old Richie 100 Jobs has coached sports, right? When you're a coach, it's not even an implicit duty of care. You have a literal, codified, very real duty of care to the players under your tutelage, instruction, dominion, whatever fucking words you want to use. You have to look after your people. And when you're coaching kids, it's especially important. When you're coaching young adults, it's especially important. You know, you've got to look out for these people. You've got to ensure that, you know, if it's a physical sport, people don't get hurt, right? That you don't use irresponsible coaching methods. Why you get a coaching badge? It's not like the old days when I was a kid, and it was just some fucking weirdo, like, who just was making you do stretches that were going to snap your fucking hamstrings in half. You know, there's guardrails now, and it's a good thing. And so, when you're a coach, you know, you have a duty of care to your players. I can't imagine wanting to exploit somebody's condition to dig you out of a fucking hole that you put yourself in. Like, it's so unethical even in and of itself. But when you understand he was abusing a position of trust to do it, it's really bad. It's irredeemably bad, in my opinion. So I was like, when you factor in everything he did, It's not even the original band, the original, when he was part of the original 37 coaches. That's the worst aspect of it. He's gone on to commit worse offences, in my opinion. And yet, he is now going to be the poster boy that essentially advertises what we really knew all along. You can't enforce integrity in esports. There's no one to do it. It cannot be done. When there's even the slightest little bit of legal pushback, people are going to fold. This is the ESIC release. This is like post-dated. So I don't know if they put it out quietly and no one noticed. And I suspect that's what happened for reasons what we'll get to. But this is the ESIC release. Just dropped on their site. On 19th of August 2021, Nikolai Peterson was the subject of a two-year participation ban imposed by ESIC. On 29th of November 2022, the parties met in person in order to discuss matters arising from that participation ban. The meeting was conducted in good faith and in a collaborative spirit. While the parties were in disagreement on certain matters, both parties recognised the importance of integrity to the thriving esports industry. Following discussions between the parties, Mr. Peterson has agreed to undertake relevant training, and ESIC has confirmed that it will review its policies and procedures to ensure they are consistent with good industry practice and fit for purpose. In light of the constructive engagement between the parties, Mr. Peterson will return to participation in ESIC member events with immediate effect. This statement supersedes any and all previous public statements made by the parties on this matter, and the parties will make no further comment on the matter. So, time to talk turkey. Obviously, I'm well juiced in over in the Danish scene still. You know, that's the scene I essentially come up with, that in the UK scene, to a lesser extent, the French scene. Yeah, I know the very fabric of all of those scenes. And so nothing sneaks past me when it comes to that. The reality is that there was a rumour circulating that Hundan had lawyered up, and lawyered up pretty quick into his secondary ban. And the reason for this is he wanted to, well, again, this is just a rumor mill, but he wanted to get this job at Astralis. But then later, there's also a conglomerate of people that are trying to get relaunched the Copenhagen Wolves brand, and he was going to be installed as some sort of GM for that brand. Remember, Jakob Lund Christensen, the founder of Copenhagen Wolves, is on the Astralis board, or certainly was up until recently. So he wanted to get the ban overturned as soon as possible so he could get back to work and rebuilding credibility. His credibility, obviously, in absolute tatters. Not that I think he realizes it, because, spoiler, when I was covering the heroic bullshit he was pulling, where he was trying to incriminate all the players and blame Katie and blame Tezzez and blame Nico and all this shit, he seemed to think he was some sort of victim. Which, again, just staggering, really. You know, he learned of the coach bug. He decided to employ the coach bug. He relayed information from what he got from the coach bug, and then was caught bang to rights doing it by somebody else. So he lawyered up, apparently, and ESIC, despite being created by lawyers, I've got to say, because we're all in this weird fucked up grey area where it's not like sports and there's no governing body and there's no authorities you work with, there's no legal framework at all in a lot of esports cases. It's like crypto in that sense. It's still really unregulated, and the legislation that exists, well, it doesn't exist. It lags massively behind where we are in terms of our development as an industry and indeed as a competitive pursuit. So you're immediately on the back foot because you're trying to assert authority over people that haven't acquiesced to you having that authority, and they're not breaking sort of any it's all guesswork. It's why I did say at the time, if ESIC issue like really harsh bans, like 2 years in addition to time served and all this stuff, 5 year bans, people will challenge them because that is an eternity in our space. And lo and behold, that's what happened. The 2 year ban for leaking a strat book, probably in and of itself is a harsh ban, right? And so he lawyered up and took them to task. Now, the other problem you've got is, of course, as we now know, Peacemaker as well has lawyered up. He got himself a Brazilian lawyer for his ban and got Mahomes TV to say, listen, I am an expert. Everything I say interpretively of this demo is right. And I conclude that the person who is the coach, the organization I also happen to create content for is completely innocent, honest, go bleeding blimey governor. And that was just presented as uncritical, unbiased feedback. You know, but in the end, it was enough, wasn't it? It was enough because Isak said, you know what, on reflection, and this is the problem, there was no way we weren't going to end up here with Hundon's ban being overturned because they, I don't know who was giving him the money for the lawyer. I don't know who's funding his war chest. I won't speculate about that. You certainly can. You know, there might be a little breadcrumb trail there, but the bottom line is Isak are susceptible to these legal challenges, and now we know it to be true. So, okay, that's it now. The writing is on the wall because the illusion, we know David Copperfield didn't walk through the Great Wall of China now. We've seen how the trick's done, right? We know that actually we could. They only have authority if we provide them the authority. And I'm sure that anyone who gets banned in future is going to pay the fucking 50 euros or whatever it is to just get a lawyer's letter sent to them. And this is where we're going to end up. I'll also say part of it has to be acknowledged that I don't think some of these investigations have been built on good foundations. Let's be real about the coaching ban. Initially, it was predicated on a dude that created an algorithmic way of going through demos and seeing when people used a bug. He then sent in a spreadsheet of everyone with every instance it happened in every game. And there's like, I don't know, 200 fucking plus, maybe 300, I can't remember, I've seen it obviously, examples into Isak. And Isak, who they know about sports and they know about match fixing and they know about betting, they don't know about demos so much and they don't know about Counter-Strike so much. And yet, because it was presented to them as a simple layup, they just went with it. But they didn't ban everyone all at once for some reason. They wanted to do it in stages, knowing that they were understaffed, knowing that they couldn't possibly get round, you know, or might be delayed, while you're also loading the buffet of corruption. The corruption! They're loading the buffet of corruption from esports, which is everywhere, at every level. And they go, oh, we'll do a North American match-fixing investigation. What about this Australian one over here? And unfortunately, I think some of their investigations, as we saw with the Australian one, they're not sound. They don't feel confident that a lawyer might pick through some of this. So you've got the double whammy, haven't you? You've got uncharted territory plus potential investigative incompetence. Well, let me tell you, as a journalist, as an investigative journalist, as an award-winning investigative journalist, let me tell you, one of the reasons I always worked so hard to double check, triple check, quadruple check, to ultimately nail everything down and let huge stories go if I wasn't 100%. The reason I did that was because a legal challenge would absolutely wreck me. A legal challenge would absolutely fuck me over. It's like the last thing you ever want to do is have to issue a retraction. I was never going to allow that. I was never going to be the guy that fucked up and had to do a retraction and ruin my whole reputation. So everything I ever published was always nailed on, even when people said it was lying because of how much I put into the investigation. And I knew it would be challenged, but I always knew I was right. And let me tell you, when you know you're right, it makes standing up to people who say you're wrong very fucking easy. When you know you're 100% right and can 100% prove it. So that, to me, this is all a product of essentially a lack of confidence even in themselves. So let's also get to this fucked up part. The way this is written tells you exactly how it went down. Again, if you're a media student and you could read between the lines, let me tell you, here's what went down. We will jam you up with litigation and make you, a non-profit, bleed money in a court you might not even be familiar with practicing law, because it would be a Danish court. Or we can come together and write some fluffy little bullshit that makes it sound like Hundon is the best guy ever, and actually Isak was in some way at fault for banning him, and that's going to be the statement that gets put out there. And that's what's happened. They've been in a stare down, It's, you know, it's been a Danish standoff, supposed to a Mexican standoff, and Isak have said, yeah, okay, fine, just to make this go away and not get jammed up with litigation. And, you know, you can tell, like, when it says, like, Isak has confirmed it will review its policies and procedures to ensure that they are consistent with good industry practice and fit for purpose. The only aspect in which Isak, I mean, first of all, maybe Isak shouldn't have ever tried to touch coaching bugs, even when it was just given to them by a third party. Fair enough. You can go back and forth on that argument. But the reality is, the only area they fucked up procedurally might have just been in the length of the ban. Maybe it was harsh. Maybe not. That's it. Everything else is nailed on. He did do the things he's accused of. You'll notice that's not... You know, that's not, it's not, oh, actually, we were completely wrong. We'd like to extend our apologies. No, the motherfucker's not innocent. He did it all. He did it all. It's all documented. He did it all. So, you know, that's not even disputed at all. Just, yeah, I did those things. But because we exist in a space where there's no integrity, you can't enforce integrity, because if I do something bad, I have to recognize you as the police. I just go, nah, you ain't the police. Now what? No, but we definitely are. Nah, I don't think you are, mate. Well, go on and fucking arrest me then. Well, we can't do that. You ain't the police then, blood. See ya. And you just walk down the road. Nothing you can do. That was Thomas the Tank Engine. Anyway, here's the other aspect of it that I really don't like. Naturally, it's going to leave a real bad taste in my mouth. M&M's noticed this. The good journalist, M&M's, over at Dust2 US. One of the good journalists, I should stipulate. There are others. You go to E6 page, and you go to look up the original investigation document, the original PDF, and it's gone. Deleted. Memory hold. Funnily enough, I did fall asleep drunk watching 1984, the one with John Hurt, which was released in 1985, tragically. They really needed to push production up ahead a bit. Anyway, but yeah, memory hold. It's literally been dropped down the tube and burnt. It's gone. Gone. Just gone. All the investigation, all the things he did, the actual recorded document of it, gone. Not available for the public. And so I heard this too on the grapevine, that one of the agreements to not jam Isak up with litigation was he didn't want a record of it to be, like, on their website. Because, listen, my reporting is going to still be there. HLTV's reporting is still going to be there. The Reddit threads, they're all still going to be there. It would be a mammoth undertaking to try and get all that removed. And there wouldn't be a legal basis for it. Certainly not in the UK. Certainly not in most European countries. Certainly not in the US. There wouldn't be a legal basis for it at all. So he wants that just so... all of the details, the sordid little details of all the things he did. Because, yeah, you're going to read a headline and you're going to go, oh, look, there's an article that said Hundam was a cheat there. It's by Richard Lewis, that fucking bald mug who looks like a mouldy egg with glasses. What? He's written 4,000 words, hasn't he? I can't be arsed with that. I watch TikTok videos, fuck it. And so, whereas I could go to the Isak PDF and get a point by point of all the things he did, exactly how he did it, the substantiating evidence that showed he did it in this... Gone. That's gone. That's just gone. So, I don't like this because it doesn't matter whether or not you win an appeal, right? The details of the trial fucking don't get deleted. The original court documents don't... Oh, we just get rid of them now. Yeah, he's innocent. How bad, yeah. You don't do that. It's a record of what happened. It's reality. So it's history. You can't just whatever. His lawyers said it to be. He doesn't want it there. Then it's gone. So, you know, look, it's really interesting because the article I've just been writing is about that Isak whistleblower, right? And this is a little sidebar. It's about that Isak whistleblower because in our interview, he had a full fucking meltdown, right? And accused me of taking money from Isak. He said while he worked there, he noticed that there was a $60,000 a year or £60,000, I can't remember what currency he said, $60,000 a year video editor, but they don't make videos, right? Just a minute, they don't, right? And he said that money, he realized now after talking to me, that money was my salary, but kept secret. That's what he said. Now, I've never took a penny from ESIC, and if they were paying me $60,000 a year, it wouldn't be money well spent. I can't think of anyone that's been more critical. I've supported them. I've talked at their annual general meeting. I've been a guest speaker at their events. All unpaid. I've never taken a penny from ESIC, it goes without saying. But I've criticised them loads. I've criticised them fucking so much, and I'm criticising them right now on my stream. But anyway, it's really weird tonally to be on a stream banging about ESIC when I've just been typing up the fucking deranged ravings of the ESIC whistleblower, who, by the way, spoiler, in a follow-up story you're going to get, appears to be out there now to get money blackmailing teams and saying, oh, go public with your match-fixing, with your players match-fixing, and you won't get invites to any of these cups anymore, but you've got to pay me cash. That's just come across my desk. Wicked. That guy's impugning my reputation, apparently. And he's repeated this on Twitter. He's out of his fucking gourd. But anyway, what the fuck is going on with ESIC, bro? You've hired an absolute nutcase, right? Who's on a six-figure salary, he said he was getting. I'm spitting everywhere. I'm fucking fuming. A six-figure salary, he said he was getting. A six-figure salary to be their investigator. And he fucking did that. And then fucked off. And now he's out there saying, I need money. Do you know what? Do you know how you get money? You fucking do your job. Sorry to sound like Roy Keane. He doesn't spit. He's too classy. But anyway, whatever the fuck. That's all tangential. But it's got to be over for ESIC now, right? They have to do something like, not a rebrand. Okay, it's either they have to just pack up the lemonade stand and say we tried. Because I don't see who's going to take them seriously, and hold that thought for a moment after things like this happen. If they can't wield any authority over players because they're susceptible to legal challenges, then there is no point in them even attempting to do it in the first place, because all they will get is legal challenges from now on moving forward. So they need to do something. They need to restructure, get new people in place, do some sort of public announcement, a mea culpa about how maybe there's got to be a change at the very least if they're gonna stick around. Now, listen, Ian won't like me saying this, but I'll say it. It's probably on him to fall on his sword in some capacity. You know, it's his operation, so you gotta carry the can. The bigger problem is, even if this wasn't a nightmare, if I'm one of these tournament organizers, why am I letting them do my integrity now? Why am I letting ESIC be the integrity output when it ends like this all the time? Why would I let them do it? Once those dominoes start to fall, remember, they're essentially funded by their partners. You pay a fee to ESIC to use their database, use them for investigations, da, 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 so you can feel confident that your tournament has integrity. Like, a stamp of incompetence, it like, ends that as a business model. So they are going to have to change something drastically, radically. And here's the other aspect of it. There was a good post, a rare good post on Reddit. The rarest of things, by TomTom94. He wanted to explain sort of the differences between what people are all asking about, which, as you can see here, right? Like, what does this mean from Valve, right? This is the Michael Slawinski and Steve Dudenhofer investigated the coaching bug, presented their findings to ESIC. They created a sanctions matrix because there were so many punishments they weren't going to be able to do them individually. ESIC over on this side, they do their bans, and all ESIC members, and Blast, who I don't think were an official partner, but they agreed to go along with it, basically said yes. We will recognize those bans and follow your guidelines. But the ESIC bans include concessions. So if you confess, you get some time off. If you assist an investigation, you get some time off your sentence. They can offer you immunity to get a bigger fish, you know, like treating it like, you know, a police investigation. Now, Valve don't give a fuck about any of that. They don't want to know about any of that. They don't care about any of that. That's E6 shit. That's what they have to do. All they want to know is how many demerits are there, because E6 did the impossible. And this is why E6 failure is going to be so damaging to the future of esports integrity, if they cannot course correct from this point. Because Valve are a games developer. I don't know if you've ever met games developers. I don't know if you've ever seen games development staff at events. They're all the same, right? They think they're smarter than you, right? They think they're smarter than you. They think their way of doing things is always the right way. And any suggestion you make to them will be ignored on principle. It doesn't matter how good it is. They will go, oh, well, if a pleb thinks that, us, the fucking micro-dosing gods of gaming, well, we'll think out the box and arrive at the same point that they do. We'll fix the problem, but we'll do it in a different way. It's why, you know, like when you make a suggestion to like Valve about how to balance Counter-Strike, they go, oh yeah, that is a problem actually. Well identified. Here's what we'll do. We'll extend the round time, or we'll extend how long smokes bloom for, or whatever. And it's like, no, but we just needed to change the map a little bit and it was all gravy. No, don't worry. No. If we rebalance this and we change this, it's the same shit. Doesn't matter who the fuck, what game. All games developers are the fucking same. They can do your job 100%. You can never do theirs. That is every games developer I've ever met. And many of them are pleasant to hang out with. Many of them are pleasant to talk to. But when it comes to business, they fucking think they're better than you in every circumstance. And it's how you end up with, like, it's not just games developers. There's lots of industries that are susceptible to this sort of, you know, feverish ego. You know, it's like Mark Cuban, like, just thinks, he is the archetypal, like, fucking, like, egotist. Just offers his opinion on everything. And because everyone fawns, because he was wealthy and successful in one area, ooh, maybe if I fawn harder, I get some of the money. Oh, maybe he will hire me one day. And they all just fawn over. His opinions on anything outside of his original expertise are worthless. The end. It's like me offering an opinion about something. You know, like, it has the same value. Except, actually, I make a point to actually, you know, read and inform myself. I don't just do knee-jerk reactions knowing I can get away with it. So anyway, to get Valve, a games developer, to agree to you, not a games developer, telling them what they should do for anything, it's Herculean. It's cleaning those fucking stables with all the horses in. It's insane. It's Sisyphus, for fuck's sake. And they did it. And they did it early. They got Valve to agree. And then, as of course in the instance of Guerri and Apoca, you know, I'll be frank. I didn't say a lot about it at the time, except to say if you didn't report, you were sort of guilty. Guerri's ban is an injustice. Of course it's an injustice. Robin's ban was an injustice too. These people clearly didn't use the bug for any, when it happened, and this was ESIC being out of their element, issuing blanket bans without nuance or context, because they didn't know how to find that nuance or context, because they don't play the fucking games, they're lawyers, homie. So, anyway, they got Valve to agree to this demerit system, and then they had to turn around and say, listen, we actually don't want Guerri to be banned now. Can we repeal the demerit system? And Valve said, no, you had to twist our fucking arm to get us to agree to this. We cannot rescind our decisions. Think how long it took for Valve just to have a sensible approach to VAC bans. Like, maybe if you get a VAC ban at age fucking 10, you don't deserve to have a prospective esports career completely ruined for it. It took them all this time, two fucking decades of people knowing that was absolute bullshit, knowing that's not fair, right, to get them to sort of partially agree to it. Still can't move them on match fixing, though. So it's not in Valve's interest to walk back these monumental decisions that they've made based on expertise recommendation. It makes them look as bad as ESIC look now in this whole fucking mess, so they're not going to do it. So now you've got Guerri just missing all of these majors. Valve probably sat there going, oh, just tune in. What's going on in Rio? Okay, Gaules is giving a speech saying, fuck your world championships, right? They're just for Brazil. Okay, all right. What's on the other channel? Oh, it's somebody saying, Valve, please address this horrific injustice. Guerri should be behind us right now. Okay, that's great. And, oh, well, don't worry. We just won't watch it again till the finals. It'll be okay. We'll tune into the finals. First thing James says after becoming a world championship Counter-Strike. Please unban my friend. He just used a skin changer. And off it goes. By the way, I wouldn't blame Valve for just pulling the fucking plug on the whole major system, the RMR system, and just leave it. Our scene is a joke. It is a joke. I can't even imagine, like, lifting up the World Cup as a fucking soccer player, and you get the microphone, you've just won the World Cup, you know, few people get to do this in history, it's the pinnacle of football, you've absolutely done it, have you got anything to say, and you go, yeah, well, I just don't, you know, my friend's in a small league, he is banned for 10 games, because he took off his shirt, and it had a really nasty slogan underneath, so yeah, can you fix it, like, what is this, this is garbage, it's fucking amateur hour, like. Yeah, boom it. Yeah, no. To be fair, I suppose Jane, that can't even be the most cringe thing that ever happened when someone won a world championship. He was like fucking Dog the Bounty Hunter, Boomich, wasn't it? Moon Angel, will you marry me? Like, oh, make it stop. It's woven into the fabric of the history of our scene forever. Like, please, blood, someone help this kid. Anyway, right, okay. Right, sorry, I'm blood pressure's raising, it annoys me. But anyway, so Valve aren't going to walk this back. That's and this, the reason this has been made is people are like going, oh, well, you can't blame ESIC for the Guerri thing. Of course you can. Of course you can. It is them. They gave him the bans that were always dubious, right? Like, oh, that didn't make sense. And they persuaded Valve through, I don't even know how the fuck they did it, right? Like, a fucking Gabe Newell voodoo doll that looks like a beanbag from a distance, maybe. I don't know. But they made Valve take their feedback on board and fucking implement it. And Guerri got fucked because of that. So, it's been a shambles. It started out so promising. But then just the L's just fucking kept coming. Like that fucking meme with the guy just throwing them at you. The Australian investigation was a fucking nightmare. Where players that didn't even play in some of the games got fucking indicted on charges they couldn't possibly have had. They had to repeal all of that. Also, by the way, just predicated on some external incompetence. And that was the people playing in ESEA Australia. Well, their website had never updated to say you are bound by ESIC terms and conditions. So guess what? They weren't. So, yep, they had to rescind that. You've had the North American match fixing thing. Like, mate, I'm going to be dead by the time I'll be dead by dawn. I'll be gone. I'll be cold in the grave by the time that fucking comes out. Like, Jesus Christ, it's nearly 2023. And by the way, I know what they did. We all know what they did. We all know who fixed the games and even what games were fixed. And we've got all the betting metadata. It's all there. Just, like, they're in Valorant now. I would have just slid it out and gone, yeah, they did it, but, you know, too late, I guess. That's not coming. And then, obviously, the coaching things, the back and forth, banning people before the major, Peacemaker missing a major. He doesn't even work for Imperial anymore. Might never get a chance to be a coach in a major again. Listen, these things do fucking matter. These things have to be timely, right? It's as simple as this. Like, Peacemaker might not be punished anymore, but he will never get that major back. And when you look back, like I am now as an old man, you look at all the moments in your career in an industry you gave the best years of your life to, foolishly wishing you hadn't, wishing there was a time machine, fantasizing about going back. And please, God, let me go back, please. But you can't. You're stuck here in the present, knowing you wasted your life. When you get to that point, right, which I'm sure you'll all get there eventually. Carb will tell you. He's older than me. You don't get the moments back. You can never get them back. You never get to be at that major again. You never get to compete at that event again. So the idea of, right, we're banning you just before a major. Whoopsie doodle. We accept your appeal after the major. And obviously there's that whole thing just lurking in the background we all know about. That there were some big name coaches in those clips, weren't there? That's not happening now. They're never getting touched. And now you've got your own integrity issue. Because you had to do one. Sorry, you had to do them all or none. It had to be all of the bands or none of the bands. So here's the best part. In Hundon Rides Again, The Devil Rides Out. Pimp did an interview. Here it is on play.gg. Pimp on Hundon's future. Astralis is the obvious choice. Why is that? I absolutely believe Hundon has a future in Counter-Strike. He is a huge capacity and has historically been a guarantee of success. The obvious choice is, of course, Astralis, who have previously been out to say that they do not see a problem in taking on Hundon after a ban has ended. Now that is a reality, it will be exciting to see if it is also true. This was on TV, where else? TV2.dk. Many people look at him with disgust. He has become the image of the whole big cheating scandal that destroyed CSGO a year and a half ago. Whether that's fair or not, considering today's news, is debatable. But his reputation is tarnished, to say the least. First of all, I do want to say, anyone who hires this cunt is out of their mind. They're almost as batshit as he is. Let's just assess what he did, right? His entire life, Hundon. I've known Hundon. I was friends with Hundon, but and knew him many, many years. But you know, obviously, he's a man of low moral fibre. You can't have the people like that in your life, kids. You can't. He showed that he will cheat if an opportunity presents itself, right? Do you want that in sports, okay? And I'm not saying you should be banned for life for it. I'm not saying that. I'm saying when you hire this man, you have to know that. You have to know that. It's like if a fighter, you know, leaves one promotion to go to another because he, you know, he fucking got popped for drugs or some other heinous shit. You know what you're getting? Do you want to take the risk on him? Or do you end up with another John Jones on your hand? Just a serial mess. Who knows? So we know he's a cheat. And he will cheat. And has cheated when the temptation presented itself. And remember, he only confessed when, like, nailed on evidence was going to come out. Then, what else do we know he'll do? If he gets a better offer from another company, he will sabotage your company, if it's a rival, to not just get the gig at the other company, but to gleefully fuck you on the way out the door. That is like busting your nut after 30 seconds in a one-night stand, and then not content with having shown the person a terrible time... Right, you wipe your knob on the curtains on the fucking way out. You see, like, it's insult to injury. It's a fucking joke. I say, yeah, thanks for that. Then, what else do we know? That as a coach, he will never form a meaningful bond with his players, because as soon as the chips are down for him, will he be like Captain America jumping on the grenade with the pin pulled out? Nah, Hundon doesn't run away from the grenade. Hundon picks up the grenade and runs after you. That's who he is as a fucking person. So, why would any, like, expertise is one thing. Is he really irreplaceably good? Like, we know he's got an eye for talent. It's Denmark, though. You can throw a dart and fucking hit a fucking prospect, right? Think about all the talent they've had, and it's still coming. Makes no sense. It's a tiny little country. We know he's got an eye for talent. He's done it historically. We used to say all the time, get him in as your GM and let him build you a team, me and Thorin, back when we used to buy the numbers. But is he an amazing coach? Do we know? Do we have any, you know, frame of reference outside Heroic? Heroic did win trophies when he was there, and then he wasn't there, and then they won one, and then they're still winning, and they've done it with different lineups. Is he? He can't claim any for that, any of that glory. So is he that good? I don't get the fascination with Hundon. I can't believe he's so good at what he does that it's worth taking the reputational hit. Now, Obviously, if it's Astralis he's joining, I don't know. Just another day with a Y in it, and them taking a reputational hit. But again, we'll come back to that in a second. But also as well, this normalisation, I feel bad about this, because I was talking to Pimp recently, and I won't talk out of school. But obviously, you know, like, I've known Pimp many years. Again, I do consider him a friend, even though I've said things about, you know, him on a broadcast. This is like a normalisation of something we shouldn't be, like, shouldn't be normalised at all. We shouldn't allow this to get normalised. Yes, he did. Not one, but two, but three, but four heinous things. But that doesn't mean he should have his reputation. No, it exactly means that. His reputation should be utterly, you know, besmirched. He shouldn't be allowed back into... He should, like, start at the bottom. Like, whatever happened to disgraced people going to the bottom? You go to the bottom and you work your way up again. Whatever happened, like, build some character, show some contrition. But no, we're just saying, hey, on TV2.dk, of all places, we're just saying that, are we? That this guy was brought the game into disrepute. Brought an entire team's org into disrepute. I do get a bit pissed off. I think about every time Heroic win now. And just the shit that gets said. And some of those players weren't even there. For fuck's sake. Some of those players have had really horrible things happen to them. And it'd be nice for them to have, like, just some joy in their lives. Like Stan losing his brother, you know, in awful circumstances, stuff like that. And every time, every Reddit thread, because of this guy, because of this sweaty mess in that photo, right? Better just wipe sweat off my brow while I use that pejorative. But that sweaty mess, not this one, that one. Every time they win, it's just abuse and bullshit and nonsense and lies about how they knew and they were definitely cheaters. And that's all they get. They're never going to get their flowers, never again. In the eyes of the moron Redditor that can literally only hold, like, a handful of very simple ideas at any given moment in time. Because let's be real, Reddit is where morons go to LARP as being intellectuals, right? And it all anonymously without anyone pulling the card when they just talk utter shit. And that's what they have to do. That's what they have to go through every fucking single solitary time. They win a game, win a tournament. They just want a big one. You know, Cadian's mum's on the stage. Go read the thread. It's full of people. Dirty cheating bastards. Oh, Cadian's got a mum, has he? That was an actual comment, by the way. Well, like, as if... What are you talking about? How are you people real? Like, it's fucking mental. But that's all because of Hundon. That's all because of Hundon. Now listen, did Heroic Management do that shady thing with the contract? Yeah, do you know why we know that publicly? Oh, me again. So it's not like I'm giving Heroic a complete pass. But all the Heroic players did was say to Hundon... After Hundon had told them, cheated, lads. And they went, well, what do you mean you cheated? Don't do that again. You can never do that. Don't cheat. We don't want you to cheat. Please don't cheat. And then, are you going to rat me out, though? Nah, we better not. It'll be a drama. That's what they did. It's like not reporting a crime you witness. It's like your mate's next to you in a nightclub with the mirror out. And he goes, do you want one? And you go, nah, not for me, mate. And now the average cretin on Reddit thinks, if you don't go and dob him in for having drugs, you're guilty of drug offences yourself. It doesn't work like that. That's not the same. Idiots. And to your point, Vency, yeah, because I've seen this in the threads as well. How can anyone believe they didn't know when Tezzez boosted him into the cheating spot? They're on a server. His coach goes, oh, can you just boost me up here? I'm just trying some shit out. Yeah, all right, mate. Yeah, stand on my head then. All right, yep, no problem. They showed conclusively with the server logs, right, that there was no communication that took place on the server that even implied that he did that. It doesn't record that information. So if your coach asks you for something before a game, you just do it. Especially if you're just on a server by yourself with your coach. That is not a slam dunk. Ah, got you, got him, we got him. That's not Chris Hansen take a seat shit, is it? It's ridiculous. Benefit of the doubt used to be a thing. So anyway, why will it be Astralis? That's what the kids want to know, right? Well, obviously, just to remind you, of course, as the great one, the greatest esports journalist of all time, did cover this, and it was really weird because obviously no one seemed to care at the time, so I don't know why they would care now. But here we go. He was in the offices. Been working on an AIM Lab project, they said. But as I pointed out in the article, sources had said they suspected there was more to it than meets the eye. That basically they knew it would be terrible optics having him around, right? It would be terrible optics having him around as the official coach. So they didn't. But actually, he was giving them input on the side and watching their demos and doing some content for them. And he was being paid by Pixel TV. And he was getting money from them, but he was really helping the team at that time. Which, by the way, that wouldn't even be a violation of the ESIC rules, because he's not doing it at tournaments and not doing it on stage. It would just be a snaky, dog shit thing to do, because you essentially rewarded someone violating integrity. And put it this way, I don't know about all Astralis' sponsors, couldn't even tell you who they are, but someone somewhere would be bothered by that. Surely there is still a sliver of integrity left in esports somewhere. And somebody will be bothered at Astralis going from Zonic to fucking Hunden. Makes you sick. So they already have that working relationship. And as the statement here, and Pimp alluded to it, it's Astralis, so you can imagine what they did. They went on Twitter and were going, this is Richard Lewis's typical clickbait report. Yeah, that's what I'm known for, the clickbait, right? Hasbro made that same mistake. You'll never get that thumb out your eye now, friends. Even if I quit esports, even if I was a billionaire, I'd still find time to come and mix your shit up. Simple as that. Oh, what are Astralis up to today? Richard, it's been 40 years. Yeah, I hold a grudge though, don't I? So that's fine. Don't worry about it, lads. Don't keep fucking up every week. I'll be there every week. Exactly. I'm in it for life. Esports jumped me in as a kid. Just literally, all the esports just lined up, kicked the shit out of me, and they went, you're in for life now, Holmes. And that was it. We all did the secret esports handshake, which is just taking a shit and just mashing it through your fingers. Anyway, they said it was clickbait, and they said it had no merit, and then they gave me a fucking... They gave me a fucking statement. Which is this. Astralis added they would never have announced Peterson's involvement publicly with the AIM Lab project due to the nature of his work, stating, we never announced the hiring of temporary contractors, freelance resources, and independent contractors are a part of our day-to-day operation, and so far this year we've worked with more than a dozen different ones without announcing a single one. Of course, Hunden is a special case, but we'll gloss over that. It's Astralis. They're fine. They're right. They're not lying there and just being a bit, you know, economical with the truth. We would like to comment in general, though, that once Mr. Peterson's ban has expired, should we have the need, we would not have any second thoughts about offering him a position as an analyst or the like, nor should any other esports organization. He should not be treated any different than any other coach or player who has received a temporary ban, not during the ban and not after the ban has expired. They then beep, boop, 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 boop. That's kind of bad. Let's add a paragraph about how we condemn cheating. We condemn cheating of any kind and nature, and we will not accept any of such anywhere in our organization. But we strongly believe that nobody should be punished beyond their action and any sentence received. It's simply not the way we believe the world or our industry should work. Well, they say they don't condemn cheating, but it seems to be a bonus if you were one of the coaches that cheated. Because Ave did it, and they had him in. So I don't know. But anyway, there it is, pretty much in black and white, that there's no barrier to hiring him now. They said we'd happily do it if we have a need. And they certainly have a need. I mean, you've got Device coming back. You know, you've got your whole... that you want to hit the ground running with the new lineup. I'm guessing in February will be when they start, because that's when Pro League comes back. And right now, I mean, you know, you've got... what's he called? That is it. I don't even know how you pronounce it. Castle? Is it Castle? Casle? Or is it like Carl, like how Rick Grimes says it? I don't know. Anyway, they got him. Well, who the fuck's he? Like, who the fuck's that guy? to get McGregor for a moment. He was their talent. He was the Astralis talent coach for a little bit. But who is he? Never done nothing. Hundon's obviously like he's got the golden ticket to come in and work for Astralis. It's all over, guys. It's done. Oh yeah, yeah, you're right. And Carl or Castle, he got banned as well. I forgot. How can I forget that? I tweeted about it. It was a long time ago, different lifetime. That was in the pre-Musk Twitter world, wasn't it? So, I don't know, guys. Like, it feels to me that we're entering, like, just this weird little fucked up period. I don't want people punished in perpetuity for mistakes. But I think we can all agree, Hundon hasn't really learned any lessons, hasn't showed any contrition. You know, what was that? Like, what was it he had on Twitter? Do you remember? Put it on Twitter where it was a picture of him, like that Michael Jordan meme, and it just said underneath, fuck them kids. And he had that as his profile picture, for fuck's sake, you know? After he took one step down Sympathy Road. There was two roads, Cunt Road and Sympathy Road, right? And you see, if you go down Cunt Road, you just stay a cunt and you get no sympathy. But if you go down Sympathy Road, you pretend you're not a cunt. And then you get sympathy, and then you're allowed to come back. And yeah, I was a cunt all along. Shazam. He took one step down Sympathy Road and said, like, ooh, new beginnings. I'm a bartender, I've lost it all. I'm mixing cocktails with a bow tie on, looking like a dickhead. And he took one step down that road, and people went, man, yo, bartending. Oh, no, he's really so sad being reduced to that. So sad, you know, you go from being one of the best IGLs in the world. Now you're pouring people's drinks. And there was just a little bit of sympathy. And then, now, you know what, I'm going to go down this. Let's go to Cunt Street, actually. I just want to see what's happening over there. Fuck them kids. He also had it in his bio, didn't he? What was it? There was something like, oh, yeah, Esports Voldemort. Like, bro, you're not even good at being evil, you prick. You're not even good at being evil. It's like shit evil. You're like, you cheated like twice. You didn't even do it loads. Just fucking down there like, ah, I love it on Cunt Street, mate. Oh yeah, this video's getting demonetized, isn't it? So what are the takeaways? Everyone loves a takeaway. Me especially. Gotta do something about that. Christmas is coming and Richard's getting fast. But what are the takeaways? Well, I mean, Hundon is going to be walking into his literal dream job. Astralis will hire him. I have no doubt about it in my mind. He will end up working at Astralis. The whole thing has been a contrivance to get him there. And as I said, if it's not Astralis, it will be a side project with people previously or still currently involved in Astralis. They all love him. They think he's the bee's knees. I don't know why. So he gets his dream job. He just gets to ride again. And do you know what? I've got a weird feeling that for some reason he will not cop as much hate when he does come back as the heroic players did. I think that's going to be the reality about it. I think he will end up getting to just skate on most of the hate. This legal challenge that has prompted the withdrawal from ESIC is literally like they were hanging on credibility wise and this has just absolutely destroyed the last of the credibility that they had. I mean, maybe there's still some, but just crazy to think that Hundon is so fucking toxic that even banning Hundon and then having to later rescind or reduce that ban might actually be the thing that fucking poisons ESIC forever in the minds of people. Like, we can check in with Reddit. I know the kids love it. Oh, Richard's content's so good. Did you see when he read the silly message on Reddit? Yeah, it was good. He even did a voice, didn't he? Yeah. Yeah, we can check in with Reddit. Yeah, look, his catchphrase is dickhead. He's hit rock bottom. Astralis announcement top comment there. Disco enjoyer here. You deny the unban appeal from a completely innocent Robin and rob him of a major title in the process. The absolute best achievement a coach could possibly accomplish in an unban Hundon, who was the prime example of why the bans existed in the first place. Isak, you are literally fucking useless. TOs, please stop honouring Isak bans and stop working with them. Their credibility is non-existent. If a body like this is going to exist, it has to be started over. And yeah, that's where people are at. That's what the gallery is saying, the peanut gallery. Should be perm banned. We've got investment capitals coming in strong off the top rope. He should be perm banned, and I don't give a fuck about any objection to it. He willingly cheated and has shown he is untrustworthy. Now, Richard doesn't come along for that ride either. These are just extremes, aren't they? Classic. How to have the worst opinion ever on about anything at all times. Mike Rice, Vampire Hunter, a man so brain damaged by the internet, spends his time. Yo, writers are everywhere. He's moved on to using incel, I believe, now as his go-to. They're everywhere, and then it'll be someone else. Whatever the internet, whatever the American fucking media tells him, fucking be worried about the incels. He will never have a good opinion. He just can't help himself, unfortunately. Hands down, one of the worst accounts on Reddit. Mods don't ban. Mods have given up on moderating this sub, haven't they? The post quality's like tanked. But anyway. You're smoking the Isak crack pipe if you believe Hundon took advantage of a mentally disabled player angle. That was a shitty lawyer's way of distracting from the fact they had no actual legal or factual standing to their argument. It's like the saying, if the facts are against you, argue the law. If the law is against you, argue the facts. If the law and the facts are against you, pound the table and yell like hell, which don't believe is the saying. Isak, by using an emotionally loaded statement that Hundon was abusing a mentally incompetent young person, was pounding the table and yelling because it was all they had. No, they weren't doing that. In fact, that didn't factor in at all to their sentencing of Hundon. It was for their sentencing of Nico. So it doesn't even make sense. They gave Nico a pass because Nico self-incriminated. That's why that was there. And, yeah, you'll notice this guy, Mr. Woke, watch out for the incels and the alt-righters and the Republicans. This guy is on the autistic spectrum. You've used the phrase mentally disabled and mentally incompetent. That's not very PC, Horn Slice. Oh, and that's not very PC. Sounds a bit alt-right, actually. Sounds like, I don't know, you're the type of person that might have some very reprehensible views about disabled people and people on the autistic spectrum. You seem to conflate them all. Bit weird. Anyway, he then goes on to say, Nico isn't some inept and mentally unstable player. He might have Asperger's, but so does Thorin. Can't bring him up. And you don't see folks using Thorin's autism as an excuse for his awful takes and bigotry. He's still responsible for his actions the same way Nico and the rest of the heroic players should have been held responsible for continuing to make use of cheating. It was 100% PR to use Nico's Asperger's for cover, almost as unethical as Hundon's cheating, and even more despicable. Like, see how fucked up this guy is? Like, because obviously the worst opinions, you do remember the names when they consistently come at you. Mental. Just actual illness. Isak is a joke. Another terrible move by Isak. All going according to his plan. Top three IGL for sure. He is running the simulation, it seems. What's that I hear in the distance? This is from Yo Mother Flippin. What's that I hear in the distance? Oh, it's the Isak clown car about to bust some new clown move. And then he's got a car emoji and four clowns coming out there. Honestly, if Hundon is not permabanned, there should never ever be permabanned. Spoiler, Isak don't usually traffic in permabans. I think their upper sentencing recommendations are 5 years, which is tantamount to a permaban in esports. But you always know someone's bright when they go with a clown emoji. Clown emoji. I already know this guy is going to get a job in this shit scene, even though he took advantage of a neurodivergent person. Pay attention, Mike Rice, Vampire Hunter. I know you fucking watch all of my stuff. Laughing my ass off, esports is such a joke. Well, you know what? Bananas are boss. Yeah, you're right. Welcome to where I'm at. Imagine falling for that excuse. All an excuse, apparently. Captain Scotland is a fucking... the maddest Astralis fanboy of all time. he's in there correcting. No, no, no. He wasn't working with Astralis. It was actually Pixel TV. And it was an AIMLab project. And he's not even there anymore. So he's in there. Perfect. It's crazy that we thought ESIC was going to be some sort of solution to these problems affecting the scene. They almost immediately ruined that reputation and continue to make brain-dead decisions like this and only push it further down. Just an embarrassment that we've had to witness this sham unfold for the past few years. And Guerri is still banned. Does this happen because we are Brazil? ESIC is a joke. Free our man Guerri. Boo. Fair enough. Heroic win. Hunden unbanned. This is the darkest timeline. Inner Shine there. Hunden head coach. Zorna assistant coach. Best duo. This is one here. This is the one I wanted to get to. Absolute joke. And absolute joke. Anything else to add there? Babil and Cadian was never even on hot coal. Can't believe this cheater is even getting celebrated now. But this is the comment. But he got a mother. Look, I told you it was a real comment. You thought I was lying. There's a callback for you. Look how heartwarming. Yeah, and he fucking cheated in a competitive environment, robbing others of prize money and recognition. This is a disgrace on the scene. Remember, Cadian never cheated. Hunden did, and then told them that he did. Guerri gets banned by Valve itself for reporting the bug. I by power still banned after 42 years. But Hunden walks free after a few months. It's almost as if these were all different things and different entities issuing different penalties for different offences, but whatever. Heroic still exists as an org, and its players are talked about without disgust. People want to cancel someone for life. What's new? Is that like, is that a glass of milk emoji or something? I don't know what that is. Lazy Calm 2, a Vax Sucks regular. Literally one of the most frequent posters on Vax Sucks. I see some of you have seen him. You've seen him there, haven't you? You've seen him. Most pro players cheat anyways. So who cares anymore? It's all for the show and dollars. And we like it. So, yeah. The die is cast. The people have spoken. Hunden's back. And ESIC's gone. What a time to be alive.